Yeah, okay. I have to go see a movie by myself at 3:30.
Great. So I have to do around the horn, so maybe you should just be here in time.
Welcome to Highly Questionable. I got nothing to do today. I'm Katie Nolan. That's Sarah Spain. That's Pablo Torre. Pablo, what movie are you seeing?
Just a little Marvel movie that has just come out called Black Widow. This is completely unsponsored content, but that's real.
Company man.
I'll tell you how it is because I hosted the press conference for Black Widow and got to see it 2 weeks
ago. Okay. That's enough.
I don't have a social life.
Do you have any faith that the Bucks can start shooting better and turn it around?
Ooh, I don't know. The Suns beat the Bucks 118-108 last night in game 2 of an evenly matched series on paper that just appears to be a lot of missed open shots leading to it being lopsided. To give the Suns credit, Devin Booker hit some huge threes in the fourth quarter. They hit 20 of the 40 threes they attempted in the game, and it's going to be tough to come back and beat a team that's that accurate from distance. That being said, Giannis, 42 points, played well, not much else he can do. Drew Holiday played great defense, but the shooting is missing. In the two games combined in the finals, Drew Holiday has scored 27 points. It's tough for Giannis to try to put it all on his back and carry it. He's great in transition. The Bucks were criticized before for not adjusting as well, and it does seem like they're trying to learn from their mistakes in previous games. The problem is the Suns can the sun touches everything. And so it has many angles from which it can hit you. And that's why SPF is important. They're going back to Milwaukee. I think they shoot better at home. So we will see if they can turn it around. But I'm looking for hope from the two of you.
Well, Kate, I think your point is a valid one for sure about the Bucks adjusting well. And that was nice to see. A lot of the criticism after game one was that after being harangued for always dropping back their big man and never switching on pick and rolls, they switched too much and it didn't work and they got burned on it. We see Holiday not shut down Chris Paul, but be super effective against Chris Paul. They play much cleaner defense. They don't send the Suns to the foul line for all those free points, but they still lost. Because the Suns beat you in different ways. They say, okay, cool, you're going to shut down the pick and roll a little bit. We're going to burn you from the outside. And unfortunately, there were no answers from the Bucks. The question, I think, was, can we believe that they will shoot better? And the answer is yes, because they're going home. I'm going to go ahead and just assume that we're going to get 25, say 20 or so, from Middleton and Holiday. We're not going to see the same story of Giannis having to do everything. I also think the officiating will be different at home. A lot of those game one interior buckets that they got hit on and there was no call, they let them play, those are going to get called in Milwaukee. So I'm tentatively hopeful that this will still be a good series, but I'm also wildly impressed with the Suns and how they seem to be able to get you from every angle.
Yeah, I would like to just take a moment here to be even more impressed with Giannis because the guy had 20 points in a single quarter. If you're not Michael Jordan, you can't do better than that. And so what he is doing on the hyperextended knee that he thought he was going to be out for the year as a result of, like, it is about getting help. And in defense of, you know, two guys who are pretty unpopular in Milwaukee right now, Chris Middleton and Drew Holiday, like, you look at, I'm in a weird space right now because I want to throw out advanced statistics about shot quality that suggests that a game like this, in which so many of these shots were open and so many of these shots were good, historically speaking, the broad sweep of the universe, the Bucks win this game like 9 out of 10 times based on shot type, location, and quality. What I am struggling with, though, is the voice of Jeff Van Gundy, who has this cliche that he says all of the time that I hate because it is basically it is what it is of sports. It is the NBA is a make or miss league. And that has always rankled me because, duh, yeah, I got to make shots to win. But then I watch a game like this and I'm like, you know what? Bleeping Jeff Van Gundy is absolutely right. You can have the best shot opportunity, but if you don't make it, give me an open three, you will be humiliated in just the way that the Milwaukee Bucks have been humiliated, despite the fact that they are being led by a hero who is putting his body on the line.
Well, Pablo, also worth noting, as much as they did have this great quality of shot and just couldn't have them go, the Suns were insane from beyond the arc. When you're shooting 50% or better from three, you're like 90% chance of winning. If you're just shooting more, making more threes than the opponent in this postseason, you have a 70% chance of winning based just on that stat. So they almost offset each other, these ideas that you've presented to us of the broad view of the universe.
Also, as I've always said, three greater than two.
Yes, that's very true.
So to
also,
recap,
whoever has more posts at the end's win.
To recap our analysis, 3 is bigger than 2. It's a make or miss league, and the sun touches everything.
That's right. Yes. SPF.
And use SPF.
Every day.
Do you see other top prospects following Jalen Lewis and turning pro before finishing high school?
So Jalen Lewis, 16 years old, born in 2005, which is when I graduated from high school. He goes to Bishop O'Dowd High School in Oakland. He's now the youngest American prospect to go pro. He joined Overtime Elite, OTE, which is a new league started by Overtime, which was a media company you may have seen. They've got something like 5.1 million followers on Twitter. But what OTE is trying to do is offer something different, offer payments directly to their players. They're going to amass a league of what they said was 24 to 30 players at first, based in Atlanta, playing against each other and also international teams as well as prep schools. They've got Kevin Ollie, who's won a national championship with Connecticut. What I'm mostly worried about is that high school students are still not allowed to have agents, so they're depending on their support systems to advise them on what this next step is going to be. And I think what we've seen is that it's nice to assume everyone's got a great support system, but not everybody does. And so I'm a little bit wary on the fact that if you go and try one of these experimental leagues that doesn't necessarily have this storied history, you do not know if it's going to stick around for long enough for it to pay off for your career. And that's a huge gamble for a high school student to take. So it's a very interesting option. And I've spoken enough, so why don't you go?
Well, I do think the gamble that you mentioned, Katie, is less risky now because there is this greater understanding of like, wait a minute, why is sports all tied up in the educational system in the first place? Because college obviously being revolutionized by NIL, eventually payments, although they're de facto payments and salaries via NIL now. Now they're coming for high schools and the prep system. And the question that you have if you're an actual aspiring NBA prospect is, okay, let's reverse engineer this. Let's start with the draft, the NBA draft, look backwards. Okay, do teams care where I went to college? Do they care even what country I'm from? Do they care whether the video that I'm playing basketball on is 1080p? The answer clearly is no at this point. They will find prospects under every rock, under every part of the planet. And so, okay, so wait a minute. You don't need to go even within America to find your answer. So what do colleges and high schools even bring? Well, the answer that they would make or they would offer is certainly shrouded in all sorts of education and character development stuff, hand wavings and all that. But really what they try to offer is marketing. Because, hey, you guys watch TV. You guys watch the NCAA tournament. You know what Duke is about. That is the platform we offer that these other startups cannot. And what we're finding in our media economy, and this is about everything, including us and sports commentators, everything's kind of flattened out. So if you can just get the people safely and develop their skills in that pipeline, the people making the decisions on the back end, whether it's fans, consumers, or the teams themselves, they're not as prejudiced against that idea. So as I say, I think it's a risk worth taking if you're Jalen Lewis.
I first will just say that I'm really excited that they have this many options now, because we've somehow deluded ourselves into thinking that the talent of being an athlete is demonstrably different than, say, being a musician. And if Olivia Rodrigo can be on TikTok or YouTube or sign a record deal or go independent or go to school while also making money for music, then she's allowed to. But with athletes, we've been brainwashed into believing that they have to follow this system that has benefited everyone but them. So I'm excited that they have all these options. But I share the same concerns that Katie does about the safety net if the thing that you sign up for doesn't work. We know that the NCAA is iceberg style slow to make changes. So if you get paid as an athlete, and in this case, it is not NIL, you are getting paid for playing, which is still not allowed in the NCAA, then you can't go to college if it falls through. You could try to go to a different league. What is your contract also with this OTE say about if the league itself doesn't provide for you what it has promised? That's the concern for me, is that you sign up for 2 years with something. If Kevin Ollie doesn't like you, you can't transfer. If you're not playing at all, what happens to your contract and can you get out of it? There's just not a precedent there. So it's great that all these options have arrived. And right now it might be the right choice for him, but we're going to find out down the road if these kind of tadpoles, if you will, become beautiful frogs. become beautiful frogs or are unable to evolve into their full form because they're held back by the system of something that wasn't quite fully formed yet. Nailed it.
It was good. I followed right along with you. What's your favorite Olivia Rodrigo song?
The one that sounds just like a song that came out like 15 years ago, and everybody doesn't seem to know that it's like the exact same song, but I can't think of the name right now.
Good for you.
Oh.
I'm still a driver's license guy.
You can't name another one.
That's correct.
I'm Team Britney forever.
Okay, free Britney girl.
Up next on HQ.
On behalf of all of the nerds, like the people who had to like stay inside of their stupid academic decathlon sort of track, you shouldn't be able to do both.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. That just feels unfair.
Highly Questionable is brought to you by Marvel Studios' Black Widow. Experience it in theaters or on Disney Plus with premiere access this Friday.
Time to play the game that would definitely beat Pablo in an HQ spelling bee.
Ooh, do you question? Really? You give us topics and events and we question them spicy.
Stupid game. I'd beat this stupid game.
Do you question if spelling is Ayla Avant-Garde's most impressive of her many impressive skills?
The spelling bee was last night. I hope you caught some of it because what a thrill.
So
but it was completed in under 2 hours, which was nice and quick after all those rule changes they made. Because last time we did one, we had, a 9-way tie?
8-way tie.
At the end. Zayla Avant-Garde, she's 14 years old. She's the first African-American to win the spelling bee. So give her flowers. Shout out to her for that. She started spelling when she was 12. She's 14 and she won the spelling bee. And she says that this is one of her side hobbies. One of her loves that she's also great at is basketball. First, let's watch what she did at the spelling bee.
Maria, M-U-R-R-A-Y-A.
That is correct.
Oh, that's been childhood joy is the greatest.
Joy.
Also,
yeah,
M-A-R-I-A, I would have said. Maria. That's how you spell that. But she also played basketball. She holds 3 Guinness World Records. Shout out. I don't hold mine anymore.
Okay, yeah. So one of them is most basketballs consecutively dribbled by a person, which is 6. And one of them is most dribbles in 30 seconds with 4 basketballs. And one of them is most balls juggled in 1 minute with 4 basketballs. And let me just point something out. The Harlem Globetrotters have failed all of us. How in the heck are you a Globetrotter and you let this girl just roll in, literally, and take all the Guinness World Records?
She also plays like real basketball.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Oh,
don't
yeah.
We have video of
real
that.
Real basketball.
She takes some ankles.
And
I mean, she's legitimately one of the top prospects in the country.
Yeah, and she's got a signature look. I love the headband. I think it's great. Look at her go. That's
her
a star.
To.
She's just cooking. Pew!
I mean, it's just unfair to be able to do all of this. Like, on behalf of all of the nerds, like the people who had to, like, stay inside of their stupid academic decathlon sort of track, you shouldn't be able to do both.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. That just feels unfair.
It's really
Shout
not
out
fair.
to the nerd jock hybrids. You guys are changing the dynamics of future movies about high school.
Do you question if Daniel Camarena is the new Shohei Ohtani?
Question's got to be a troll, but you know what? Let's treat it as if it isn't. Daniel Camarena, relief pitcher. He's been in the minors for like 9 years. Been in 4 different organizations. He's in the bigs now. Was called in relief. Gave up 2 earned runs, and then in his second at bat ever, they let him bat. This is his second major league at bat.
Against Scherzer.
Against Max Scherzer.
A first ballot Hall of Famer. He hit a grand slam.
Incredible.
Ugh. Like, and by the way, that pitch is
not
like
great.
Go for that.
Down and in, out of the zone, 96.
What was the count? Like, I think he had 2 strikes on him. He had to.
Whatever it was, that guy had never hit a home run in Major League Baseball at any level before, unshockingly. And then he does.
He never had a hit in Major League Baseball. This was his second big league at bat. In the minors, he was hitting like 170. So in the minors, he had made contact once or twice. This was the most unexpected result. No, whatever happens to this guy in the rest of his life, he will always be able to say he hit a grand slam off Scherzer. And it's the first grand slam Scherzer has ever allowed to a pitcher. Not just that, the first home run he's ever allowed to a pitcher. This is the best. This is also why we should not have universal DH.
I also think it was worth it just for the video of his brother reacting. Yes. Like a proud bro.
So good. Also, you know, if that footage doesn't turn out, it's on TV too. So you'll be able to get that.
You know, in this situation, I'm less critical. It's more like when you're at a concert and everyone's got their phones up. It's like, this is airing, you know.
And you're going to want that angle anyway. That sure. From the crowd, mm-hmm. I was there angle.
Yeah.
To return to the actual premise of this question, though, now that we've thrown roses at the feet of this man, no, he is not the new greatest, most talented player I've ever seen. No, not yet. Not yet. Not ever.
We do love to do that. Establish someone as the best, so we
just
be like,
troll me. It's just a troll on me.
Am I the next Pablo Torre? Who's to say?
Dream bigger, Katie. Dream bigger.
Time to play the game that's going to be super long-winded to delay your weekend. See? Oh, no.
You tell us what's on television, and we tell you if we're intrigued or not. Well done, team.
Sunday at 3 p.m. on ESPN and ESPN Plus, the Euro 2020 final, Italy and England.
Yeah, yep. I'm going to watch it on both ESPN and ESPN Plus at the same time. I have two screens. It's coming. Is it coming home? I don't know. I know people muted that phrase on Twitter because it's constant. It's coming home, folks. England is in the final against Italy. I'm going to take the unpopular opinion. I'm rooting for Italy as an Italian-American. It is my duty. But England in the game against Denmark, there was a soft foul that was later referred to as a clear foul on Raheem Sterling.
No, that's Chris
that ended
Paul right
up
there.
It, resulting in a PK from Harry Kane. He's one of their own.
Garbage.
Yeah.
Harry Kane's PK was also garbage, and then someone put it in on, he put it back in on the save, so he didn't really deserve that either. So all in all, you know, honestly, it's coming home is fairly tainted by this. See, look at that.
Ball in net, though.
Ball was in the net, for
sure. Don't lie.
This wasn't a good PK. He cleaned up the mess afterwards. Congrats, I guess. I will be at the Red Stars game, so I will not be watching, but I'll probably watch the highlights after.
Okay, well, that answers Sarah's not intrigued. Pablo, are you intrigued?
So to recap Sarah's perspective, she's going to be watching the team that she co-owns.
Yes.
Something that she just had to mention, steamrolling over any possible question that any of us may have had. Okay. Mm-hmm.
A very
I'm
you thing to
this.
Do.
Yeah, how dare she? I'm in on this, not just because if England wins in London, that would, I mean, guys, I just try to find joy vicariously through crowds at this point. It's a real dangerous game because you see a crowd and you're like, oh no, I've been told that this is a bad thing, but now I'm hopeful, but also terrified. And also, I will say this, anything that involves like commentators with British accents, I've realized watching this tournament, very much in.
That's awful. Is that your best?
Was that it? Was that an attempt?
No.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
Michael, Harry Kane.
Harry Kane.
Oh, no.
Harry Kane.
Why are you so stunted about
it? Like Raheem Sterling.
Need to pause.
Raheem Sterling.
No, you don't.
Sterling.
Pablo, that's just awful.
Bloody awful.
Tonight at 10:10 p.m. Eastern, Angels and Mariners.
Yeah, C, very interesting. I mean, I don't know if I'm going to watch it necessarily, but C, because then I do want to talk about it. Is that how this works? Who's to say?
Yeah.
Let's talk about Shohei Ohtani, because he's got 32 home runs. He's incredible. We all love rooting for him. Buster Olney on the Baseball Tonight podcast shared a very interesting nugget in regards to Ohtani. Listen.
I was talking with Jeremy Reed, who is a hitting coach for the Angels, about Ohtani. You know, we've got the Derby on Monday. I'm part of the coverage, and you're part of the coverage. And I started the conversations with the various competitors, asking about their batting practice regimen. You know, what routines do they have? You know, where they like the ball to be pitched, that sort of thing. And as I got started with those questions, Jeremy kind of cut me off. He goes, he hasn't taken batting practice the whole year.
Oh my God.
He hasn't taken any batting practice. And I was like, what? No batting practice for Ohtani the whole year? He goes, no.
I mean, this is a guy who is known for his BP sessions when he came here. That is incredible, but in a good practice?
Yeah.
You guys talk about practice?
To the legend, right? I mean, we don't know for sure if it has anything to do with him being on pace to hit 60, but I'm not going to change anything about his routine right now. It's working. And it does add to the legend of this guy who's doing stuff we've never seen before. And then we can build it up with it. Yeah, and he doesn't even practice. Doesn't even need to work on it.
So are you intrigued, Sarah Spain?
Very intrigued.
Good. Pablo, what about you?
Thank you for asking me, Katie. Yeah. I am very intrigued.
I forgot how the show works. It's been a while.
Yeah, Sarah has no idea how any of the show works.
It's Friday.
Which is honestly, like, to her point, clearly, if any show is against practicing how to do the thing that you do professionally, it is this episode of Highly Played.
All right, you know what that feels like? Feels like a show.
The weekend?
Yeah, it's time for the weekend. Yeah. Let's all go get haircuts. That's Sarah Spain. If you want more of her, listen to That's What She Said podcast or Spain and Fitz. When's that on?
Weeknight, 7 to 9 p.m. Eastern.
That's right. So you're going to have to wait a couple days, but it'll be worth it. Pablo Torre, if you want more of him, that's ESPN Daily. It's his podcast. You can find him there.
Thank you.
Katie Nolan has a podcast. It's called Sports.
Oh, thanks.
With a question mark.
Yeah, don't worry.
Cheerio, chaps.